You may be seated. Do we have an extra Bible over there? Is that the Bibles way in the back? Are there Bibles? Huh? Okay, anyone don't have a Bible? Raise your hand, please. You have a Bible? Oh, no. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. Keep your hands up, please. Uh-huh. Sure, honey. Keep your hands up. Anyone else? Oh. Share a Bible. All right. That's not our Bible, so give it to the one. Give it back to the before you leave, please. I don't like a topical. Let me try again. I don't like a seasonal message because we all heard. In a way, if you've been in the church for quite some time, you will heard seasonal message. Am I on? Oh. Turn it up, house. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Especially Christmas or the new resurrection celebration, it tend to be typical. Christmas, we talk about Jesus' birth, Mary, shepherds, and then we talk about three wise men. By the way, it's not really three wise men. I know it blows somebody's imagination off, but nativity scene should not have a three wise men included. They should be, if you have the nativity scene in front of your home, they should be located in somewhere in the middle of the Tucson. Because it will take that long, when you read chapter 2 in Matthew, the age of the child is somewhere around 2. So there's a slight difference. And it's not really three wise men, because in reality, it's more than three people, dignitary of the many people, and they're not riding on a camel. They're most like they're riding an Arabian horse, stallion. Okay, since I blew all the bubbles away, the study we are going to do this morning is not about any of those people. There's one person who gets left out in majority of time during our Christmas message. Guess who that is? Joseph. Daddy. He's an earthly daddy of Jesus. However, he has nothing to do with Jesus' birth. He was in a way like you and me. Bystander who is looking at the situation and scratching out our head and scratching his head and wondering how this can be. And seeking God's answer. He didn't have a God's answer clearly like we do. We have the God's word on our lips to understand. He didn't have that privilege. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. Let us be nourished, our spiritual body, to understand your way. And let us learn from this man called Joseph, the father of Jesus while he was on earth. And Joseph was a very, very godly man. Let us learn from him. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to Matthew. We've been hanging around Matthew quite some time. About 20 sessions. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Please. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed. after his mother Mary betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, underline just man, or some of your version says righteous man, and not wanting to make her public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with a child, and bear a son, they shall call him his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And underline, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, whole portion. Before we go into the study of Joseph, let's ask this question. What is the Jesus Christ's last name? Christ, right? Isn't it? First name Jesus, last name Christ. No, it's not. That's not their family name. A lot of people think that, to your surprise. Have you ever seen that stupid TV show? But then again, majority of TV shows are stupid. I watched stupid show. Yes. You know, Jay Leno's, one of his segment is Jaywalking. Have you ever seen that? If any foreigner watch that thing and they understand English, they would think that all the Americans are the most idiotic, pathetic, ignorant people. Because he has a very simple question, like how many lights in the signal light, in the traffic light? 5, 7, 2, 3, you know? That's a simple question, but they come up with a weird answer. Now, we as a Christian, we know the word, we know the lingo, but we don't know, a lot of times we don't know the meaning of it. What is the meaning of Christ? Greek word is actual word Christo, C-R-I-S-T-O, Christo. It means anointed one. In Hebrew, translation is the Messiah. Both translate to Savior, the anointed one. So let's get that thing down. Jesus Christ is the Jesus, his first name. In other words, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus is the Savior. All right, since we are doing the study of name, let's go back to the name of Jesus. Jesus is every Tom, Dick, and Harry's name. Michael, there. Michael, and Tom. And it's a common name. It's not any fancy name like a Junho. So it is common name, and also it should be translated as, in Jesus is a Greek pronunciation. If you look at the Hebrew pronunciation, it should be Yeshua or Joshua. Joshua means the Lord shall save. He was born in a common folks. He was born with a common name, but yet has a meaning is different. We summarize the character of Joseph in two words. I ask you on the line, verse 19, just man or righteous man. And I ask you on the line, verse 24, as he was commanded. In other words, two characters, righteous or just and obedient. And some of you guys thinking, okay, he's going to talk about obedience again. Sorry. When you look at this book, what's the instruction says? Be obedient.
What else?
If we can handle the basic, he will teach us basic until we get the things done. How many years this book's been taught? From the beginning. Last 2,000 years, the church has been teaching this word, supposedly, all this time. And now, they're trying to stay away from it. Why? Because they are disobedient. Within the denomination, over the denomination, throughout the entire Christian community, a lot of them don't want to listen to it. That's why he said, be obedient. How concept, what's the first most, the more, foremost important command God tells us to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your strength. Second command? Okay. Command requires something from us. What is it? Obedience. Bingo. You got that right. So if we are not obedient, he will teach us to be obedient until we become obedient. Being righteous, can we be righteous without God's help? Absolutely not. To be righteous, guess what we have to have first? Obedient heart. So they goes in hand in hand. We cannot be holy, we cannot be righteous, we cannot be godly until we become obedient to God. First, we submit ourselves, we become humble ourselves, humble people. No? Then we become holy and righteous in the sight of God. How would you like to, some of you guys not married, and some of you are married, that covers everybody, right? That's a real profound truth. Duh. Let's say we all about to get married, and we find out our fiancé or wife or husband-to-be, no, not husband-to-be, yeah, let's go to just for the guys only. Your wife-to-be is pregnant, and you have nothing to do with it. The first thing you're going to think about is, okay, who is that scum? Second one is, she's impure. What do I do with this relationship? Should I stop or should I continue? That's what exactly going through in Joseph's mind. Now, the Nazareth is not exactly a good town. In a way, it's like a sin city, Las Vegas, or Laughlin, or whatever the other place in Nevada. It's not known to be a very good place. A lot of Roman garrisons there, in other words, and some of the local gals having a child of Roman soldiers. So it is known, it is easy to think that, okay, she got pregnant by one of the Roman soldiers. That's why we find Pharisees accusing Jesus, we know who our father is. Remember that portion? So it was easy for the Joseph to think that, okay, this is somebody done by human being. However, he is being a just man, being an obedient man. He wanted and still loved his wife-to-be. Now, the engagement at that time is much different than our engagement. Nowadays, engagement, and you get the ring, and you don't like each other, you just pick up, pull the ring, throw it at that person's face, and walk away. That's the end of it. However, at that time, once the engagement is done and you want to break it, you have to literally get the divorce paper. It's a lot more serious. Now, if everybody finds out that Mary is pregnant, it's not Joseph's kid, that means she becomes adulterous, committing adultery, almost marriage. That means she will be stoned to death outside of the city. Because he loved her so much that he wouldn't want to put her through that public shame, and nor he want to put her family in the public shame, so he tried to put away quietly. However, God has a different plan. Now, if you notice that God sent angel Gabriel beforehand, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. However, there was a time while Joseph is going through that agony, he didn't show up until he tried to decide to put away quietly, and then he showed up. Why did God allow him to go through that difficult time? I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. We go through the things, difficult time, by God's providence will, but we don't know. But God knows. So, one night, Joseph sleeping, and angel of the Lord showed up and saying, take that woman as your wife, and gave a specific instruction. Great thing about Joseph is, there's a four chapters mentioned, entire four gospels about Joseph. You don't hear one time Joseph making an argument or trying to give a consultation to God or the fuss, no, nothing. He just say, okay, he goes, do what God says. That's the obedient heart. My position, I do a lot of consultation to God. I tell him, I try to give him advice. I tell him, okay, God, you really don't know what you're doing because you're not here. I'm going through this difficult time. Let me tell you. And he doesn't listen to me. Do you ever feel that way too? God says, well, that's nice, but I'm not listening to you. Can't hear you. Because he doesn't need my advice. Joseph doesn't do that. He just simply say, okay. You might say, hey, if the angel of the Lord showed up in the middle of the night in my room, and he says, do this, I will do it. Really? Do you think you will do it? I'll do it? Let me put it this way. We have the Word of God on our left. This is better than the voice of an angel, correct? This has a final authority over angel's voice. If we don't do this, what make you and I think that we will do what the angel says? Not only that, Satan disguises himself as angel of the light often. So just because we see an angel in the middle of the night, should we believe everything he says? Absolutely not. You believe this. I guess somebody's dragging a dead body around. Let's go to verse 25 of chapter 1. And did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now, what does it mean? He did not know her. In other words, they did not have intimacy. This destroyed some of the doctrines of a Catholic, and who they said that Mary was virgin all the way to her death. Let's go on. Let's go to the chapter 2 of the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that the decree that went out from the Caesar's Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while the Quirinus was governing the Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up to the Galilee out of the city of the Nazareth into the Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with a child. So it was that while he was there, they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped in him swaddling cloth, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Underline, no room for them in the inn. I took the liberty to imagine, being an artist in mind, I took the liberty to imagine what it's like. First of all, let's get the right picture. Is it stable, real smell, nice smell with the perfume, all of that? No. It stinks. And somebody said, whoever goes first gets to have a firm ground, and whoever follows gets to have a dead, you know, look for where you step into. Smelly and stink and dirty. Manger, we have this beautiful place with all this fluffy cotton inside. It was literally the horse or the ox roll in the manger. It's not clean. And the swaddling clothes, again, they use for to bury the dead body. I wouldn't call that as a birthplace for the Son of God. However, that's where he was born. I'm sure Mary was tired after delivery. She fell asleep. And Joseph is holding this brand new born child. And he's looking at that tiny hand. I'm sure you guys remember that when your child was born, the hand and the finger all together is that big, right? And when you look at it, there's all the lines, there's a fingerprint, there's a tiny, tiny fingernail. Just amazing. And he's holding that little tiny hand. And then remembering, this is the very hand that flung stars into the universe. And when the baby cried, for the first time in 400 years since the last God spoke to the prophet, he heard the voice of God. And he's looking at the precious face, reddish face. And all of a sudden he's realizing he's doing something no other prophet prior to him ever done, looking at the face of God and survived. He has that awesome responsibility. This is the very God who created everything. According to the book of John 1:1 and then 3, it says, all things were created through him, and there's nothing created that is not created through him. In other words, God created the very baby in his arms, created Joseph. Yet he is holding this brand new baby. How can this be? Just like that. Sound back perfect. And this baby couldn't do anything other than being taken care of. Had to be nursed, had to be changed, had to be cared for, had to be protected. Man protecting God. He had to come into the human form to take our sin. He didn't know. Now, I ask you to underline no room in the inn. Why? Obviously, because there's no room in the inn. Duh, right? How often do we have a room in our heart? This hustle and bustle Christmas season, we are so busy doing things. Let me make an example. There was a mother who went shopping with the two children. By the way, this is only mom can do. One time I saw this mom coming to the Costco price club, pushing the cart, talking on the phone or on the cell phone, and carrying one kid and put another kid in the cart. I was looking at it. There's no way I can do that kind of thing. Only a woman can do that kind of thing. Now, this woman went shopping with the two children, And they've been going up and down the aisles after aisles. Anything she could see, she imaginable, she saw. And of course, the children's just following her without any comment, right?
Right.
They would say, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. They want everything they saw. After a few hours of that, that lady about had it. She bought whatever she could buy and dragged the children to the elevator to get out of that place. Elevator opened, and she's looking at the cart. It's already full, close to full. So she put the kids in and put herself in, turn around and pulling the shopping bag into the cart before he closed the door. And she about had it. She blurted out, whoever started this Christmas should be found and strung up and shot. And from the back of the elevator, very quiet and calm voice said, don't worry, lady, we already crucified him. After that, there's not a one word all the way down to the floor, the basement, or where the parking lot is go. We get so uptight with the preparing for holiday season, quote unquote, preparing for the gift, returning the cards, make sure we don't forget anyone, and visiting this relative, whoever we have to go, all the parties we have to check out, and all the food we have to taste, doing all of that, we forget main reason for the season. Who would that be? Jesus. Let's stop. In a way, I'm preaching to the choir. You guys have stopped to come to hear the word. But let's stop. The main reason is about Jesus. To celebrate his birthday for what he has done for us. Not to say, quote unquote, woo, whoop-de-doo, it's a Merry Christmas and Santa Claus. By the way, this dyslexic Satan worshiper would spell Satan as a center. Some of you get it, some of you won't get it. When you go home, you'll get it. Satan and Santa, there's a difference. All right. Let's go to Matthew again, chapter 2. I guess that was a flop joke. You didn't get it. Chapter 2, verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek your child, young child, to destroy him. It didn't say baby, right? When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, departed for Egypt, and were there until the death of Herod. It might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, he was deceived by the wise men, who was exceedingly angry. He sent forth to put to death all male children who were in Bethlehem and its district, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in the Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and the great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in the dream to the Joseph in Egypt. And some of you are thinking, okay, why don't I just go to sleep most often, then God speak to me. No, he doesn't do it that often. And saying, arise, take a young child, his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought to that the young child's life are dead. Then the Hebrew also took a young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard the Achilles was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. He came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called Nazarene. As I said, the character of Joseph can be concluded in two words: righteous and obedient. God is not looking for someone who had everything together. Did God choose Joseph because he has a higher education? What's his occupation? Carpenter. Carpenter was not very educated at that time. Was he loaded with money? If he was loaded with money, he would find a room at the Hilton, not in the inn. He was not rich. He was not educated. He was not influential. However, he had a willing heart to obey. Ladies and gentlemen, obedience is a choice that we make. We can choose to be obedient. We can choose to be disobedient. Today, what you heard, you have to make a choice. Do you want to be obedient to God the rest of your life? Or do you want to be disobedient and play a game with God? Your choice. What about the consequences? Can we avoid the consequences? Absolutely not. Whatever we decide, we have to live with the consequences, whether it's good or bad. Let's make a couple of applications. Number one, obedience is something we must have to please Father in heaven. Obedience is something we must have in our heart to please Father in heaven. Joseph took the word of angels and its value. And we should take the word of God at its value and do likewise. There's no exception. Second thing, let's keep room, the best room. As a matter of fact, the whole room in our heart for God. We cannot share room with God. Okay, how about 90% to God and 10% for myself? No, God doesn't compete with us. No, God competes with Satan. God does not compete. Either we are all for God or we are not. Let's have a room. Remember, he came to pay the debt he did not owe. Because we owe the debt we couldn't pay. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It boils down to our choice to be obedient or not to be obedient. Teach us to be obedient. Let us have heart to receive Him as our Lord and Savior in our heart all the time by being obedient. To Him who is able to keep us from stumbling and present us before the presence of glory, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the day. Do we have one more song? Okay.